Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone, and we trust that you had a blessed day today. This is Kingdom Builders. We trust that the Lord was, and we know He was merciful to you, and He blessed you to see another day that wasn't promised. This is Minister Sophia Parks from Detroit, Michigan, and this is Kingdom Builders. And tonight, our speaker is Apostle Leonard Emmons from the beautiful city of Gary, Indiana. He's the pastor of Living Way Christian Center, and we are really expecting God to move tonight, and we're looking forward to a wonderful hour of power. Apostle Emmons, are you on the line tonight? Apostle Emmons?
Hello? 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 Hello?
Hello, Apostle Emmons, are you there?
Yes, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Oh, I had a little problems with my phone. But we are so glad to have you on the line tonight. This is Minister Sophia from Michigan, Detroit, Michigan.
Praise God.
Let me do a little introduction so you can get started, okay?
Praise God.
Kingdom Builders. And we're so glad tonight to have Apostle Leonard Emmons as our speaker tonight. He's on every first Tuesday of every month at 7 Central Time and 8 Eastern Standard Time. He's the pastor of Living Way Christian Center in Gary, Indiana. And we are expecting God to bless. This is going to be a wonderful hour of power. And let me pray for the apostle, and then he can take it away. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the apostle tonight. Lord, we know that he has a fresh word from heaven. We know that he's spent time before you. And, Lord, we are in anticipation of receiving a revitalizing word from you, a word that can help us to continue to carry on. And, Father God, we pray that there's no weapon that will prosper. And, Father God, we pray that you just continue to give him the boldness, Lord,
yes,
and the certainty and the surety, oh God, that as he speaks the word, that no word will come back void. And Father God, we just bless his family, we bless his church, we bless his ministry, and Father God, we bless tonight in Jesus' name. Apostle?
Yes.
You're on.
All right, bless God. Praise God. We praise God for all of you this evening. We praise God for Kingdom Builders this evening for the opportunity to share with you the engrafted word of the living God. We praise God for Kingdom Builders, for Minister Prophetess Teresa Docks, and for the vision of Kingdom Builders, and for the desire to communicate to the masses the engrafted word of the living God. We praise God also for Brother Quentin Docks and for his interest, desire, his willingness to ensure the Kingdom Builders is doing what it is doing in the earth. We praise God for all of the intercessors and for the representatives of the Kingdom that are partners, that are part of Kingdom Builders. We praise God for every man, woman, boy, girl that is listening, every apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, those that are doing everything they can to extend the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in the book of Daniel that right now there is a movement, and this movement has been going on for a while, where everything is running to and coming to the mount of God, the mountain of God. And the Bible also tells us that every kingdom that we are aware of in the earth presently, or any new kingdom that comes up, every kingdom is becoming the kingdom of our God and his Christ. Again, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We praise God for all of you, dear brother, dear sister, that are listening and that are part of this broadcast this evening. And we'd like for you to turn in the Bible over to a very familiar passage of Scripture that's found over in, as we talked about it, introduced last month, over in Proverbs, the 19th chapter. And there's a very familiar Scripture that's found there, at least a familiar Scripture to us, and hopefully those of you that were with us last month. And again, we praise God for all of you and all of you and what you're doing. And glory to God. In the 19th chapter of the book of Proverbs, verse 21 says, "There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand." Now, that is the King James Version. Now, in the Amplified Version, it says it this way: "Many plans are in a man's heart, but the counsel of the Lord will stand." In the, excuse me, that was the New American Standard Bible. In the Amplified Bible, I'm staying corrected, of course, verse 21, it says, "Many plans are in a man's mind, but it is the Lord's purpose for him that will stand." To me, it goes without saying that regardless of whatever interest, desires, whatever impulses, inspiration, motivation that we might have, if we're not lining ourselves up and lining up our wishes, our intent, our future, if we're not lining them up with what God wants or what God desires, we will not stand. Our plans will not stand. And we've seen that in our world. Those of you that have been paying attention to the things that have been going on in the earth, where we have not lined ourselves up with the Lord, that we've seen some crumbling, we've seen some shaking. And because of that, we ourselves, many of us, we've had to adjust. And adjustment probably should be something that we, just be okay with, because we're not ourselves. We don't belong to ourselves. The 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, there's a theme that in both of those chapters that tells us that we all were bought with a price, and we all have been purchased even by God himself. God has paid the ransom price for our redemption, and so because of that, we don't belong to ourselves. We actually are God's possession, we're God's property. And because of that, there's a need for us to just settle in for the ride. There's a need for us to not be upset with any of the seemingly unexplainable changes that we're faced with. Because, again, our plans need to fit in God's plans. The Amplified Version, again, says it this way: "Many plans are in a man's mind, but it is the Lord's purpose for him that will stand." As we noted last month, as we introduced this, and we want to do what we can to extend the conversation regarding purpose, regarding plans, and regarding actually the will of God for our lives, I need for you to take another look at the scripture, look at Romans, the 12th chapter. There's a very familiar statement that is made by the writer there. And here he tells us, he gives us something that we need to just settle in as well. I'm reading from the Amplified Version. It says, verse 1 of the 12th chapter of Romans, it says, "I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you in view of all the mercies of God to make a decisive dedication of your bodies." This is what 1 Corinthians 6 and 2 Corinthians 6 talks about. You know, we should be willing to dedicate and be decisive. members and our faculties as a living sacrifice, according to what it says in verse 1 of the 12th chapter of Romans, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. So us dedicating and being decisive and being willing to yield our bodies to God is crucial for us to worship God. If we are in rebellion about not allowing our bodies to be God's temple, then we're not really, as much as we may shout and dance, we're not worshiping God. As much as we may call ourselves worshipers, we're not worshiping. Our bodies belong to God. Now, mind you, that is so that we can complete something. Now, mind you, we're not going to complete what God wants unless we are aware, unless we are knowledgeable of something. Verse 2, it says, do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external, superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewing of your mind, by its new ideas. Oh, you mean if I renew my mind, I'm going to have new ideas? That's what the Bible tells us here in verse 2. It says, renewing your mind by its new ideas and new attitude. You mean to say, if I really want a new attitude, I need to renew my mind so that you may prove for yourself what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the things which is good and acceptable and perfect in the sight for you. Now, here it tells us that it's crucial for us to be aware that not only are our bodies supposed to belong to God, which would definitely mean that we need to take care of our physical bodies, that our bodies actually are on loan, because our bodies don't belong to, they don't belong, our bodies don't belong to us. Now, this is so that we can complete something. This is so that we can finish something. And mind you, it's crucial for us to be aware that there is a good, there is an acceptable, and a perfect will of God that we are supposed to yield to. Now, the will of God will not be found, I would say, 99% of the time on the television, especially on the secular broadcast. The will of God is not going to be found there in most cases. Okay, I'll say in most cases. The will of God is, many times it's not going to be found, I hate to say this, on Christian television or on Christian radio. Or the will of God, it's not going to be found in some of these places that might appear to be popular. The will of God is going to be found in the very presence of God, where God is. It's going to be found in the very place where God has stationed us or set us. Now, the will of God should be found among God's people. The will of God should be found even, and that's why we urge everyone who's under the sound of my voice to be aware. I mean, the scripture tells us that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves, such as the practice or such as, you know, the common thing among some believers. You know, Paul, as he talked about this in the book of Hebrews, he was aware that there were some believers that, because of whatever reason, decided not to join themselves to a local fellowship. And they decided not to to be a part of a local house. And this is not the will of God. This is not what God has designed. Because God has designed that the local fellowship, and we're talking about being a part of a physical activity where we are with other believers. Now, I realize we praise God for talk radio. We praise God for television. We praise God for radio. We praise God for DVDs and for CDs. We praise God for all of that. But none of that is supposed to substitute any of us not connecting with other believers physically. That is a part of what God has established. It is so that we can put ourselves in a place so that we can know the will of God. Now, first of all, I need for us to go to another scripture in Romans, because in order for us to stay encouraged, we have to have some confidence. We have to make sure that we always have confidence that God actually is working mightily in our lives. In Romans 8, verse 28, and I'm reading again from the Amplified Version, it says, "We are sure to know that God, being a partner in their labor, all things work together and are fitting into a plan." See, God, you know, believe it or not, as much as sometimes it appears that God doesn't have a plan, he has a plan. And everything is fitting into a plan for good to and for those who love God and are called according to his design and purpose. In the New American Standard Bible, says it this way, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." So here in the New American Standard Bible, it speaks of plans and purposes are interchangeable. And so God, in actuality, is fitting everything together, even in my life and even in your life. And God has a central plan. He has a perfect plan. He actually does. Even though we're going to get a chance to choose the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God is going to be accessible to us. Now, we encourage everyone to, again, choose the perfect will of God. However, the reality is going to cause us, whatever drives us, whatever motivates us, whatever seems to cause us to make decisions, is going to, as believers, we're going to probably decide based upon many of what we consider our needs. Now, our needs are going to be a motivating factor in probably how we're going to answer the call of God. Now, it's important for us to understand, though, and recognize that we're all called. We all have a divine purpose. There is a plan for our lives. We're not just haphazardly existing. No, God has a purpose for us. Now, as you all know, this particular scripture in Romans 8:28 and 8:29, and it's important for us to understand, this is a scripture here that Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, inserts here, and he is recalling some of the significance of the life of Joseph. And we're living right now in a season in the economy of God where God is raising up Josephs, where there is a Joseph company that God has breathed into the earth. Now, the Joseph company is in the earth, and you, my brother, you, my sister, you're presently a part of this company, whether you are aware of it or not. God wants to raise you up as a Joseph. He wants to raise you up as a Joseph in your family, in your neighborhood, in your community, in your city, in your county, in your state, or in your nation. God wants to raise you up. Now, please understand, Joseph had a set time to manifest his purpose, God's purpose for his life. I need for you to turn over here to another scripture I believe that is so crucial for us, over in the book of Jeremiah. As much as the challenges that you and I are faced with, we always have to remember that God has a plan. I mean, he does. It may not appear, we're talking about Jeremiah, the 29th chapter, of course. God has a plan, and his plan is going to supersede any plan that you and I will ever come up with. Now, because of the plan of God, it's crucial for us to not work against God. It's important for us to be aware that God is weaving something supernatural and miraculous. Now, in Jeremiah, rather, the 29th chapter, and we want to begin our reading at verse 10. And again, I'm reading, praise God, I'm reading from the Glory to God, the King James Version. I know some of you probably said, "Man, why don't you get to the real Bible?" Well, praise God, the other two 10, for thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your hearts. Verse 14, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I called you to be carried away captive. Now here, this is a promise, of course, for Israel. This is a promise for them, even in the place where God spoke and told them, even ahead of time, that he was going to complete something. He was going to bring to fruition something. And after he finished it, then he said that he was going to bring them back. After the 70 years of captivity, the 70 years of punishment, God said, you know what? I'm going to bring you, the nation of Israel, back to Jerusalem, back to my presence, back to my place where I establish you. Now, there was a set time, though. As much as we sometimes might think or feel that God does not have a set time regarding us, regarding our situation, regarding our circumstances, dear brother, dear sister, please be mindful. Be encouraged tonight that God fully has all of this stuff figured out. I mean, regardless of what your eschatology, your study of the end times might be, regardless of your position, whether you pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, whatever, your eschatology might be, the bottom line is God has this thing in control. Now, the bottom line is God not only has everything in control, but that includes you. Now, mind you, we got to understand, though, God said he was going to bring them back, and he said that he was going to restore them. But there was a set time that they, Israel, needed to be aware of. And dear brother tonight, dear sister, please understand, God has not forgotten you. God is fully at work in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Remember, it's all about his pleasure. It's about his pleasure, dear brother, dear sister. And as much as you claim that you want to please God, then please him. Now, the scripture tells us in, of course, Hebrews 11, that the only way we can please God is we have to trust him. We have to believe. You know, the very essence of faith is that we're going to believe. By faith, the Bible tells us, it tells us that without faith that it is impossible to please him. Now, with that being said, we need to also be aware that if we're going to please him, we got to believe. Now, unfortunately, many of us are more influenced by the news media, whether it be radio, television, cable, you know, satellite, whatever rocks your boat, whatever floats your boat. The bottom line is we got to switch our information source. Now, as much as some of us claim to be word folk, word people, bam, we're in love with the word of God. Well, we gotta be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. The Bible tells us in Psalms, the first chapter, Psalms number 1, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. There's a lot of ungodly counsel that comes from the 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock news, the 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock news, the CNN, Fox News. There's a lot of ungodly counsel. It says, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. It says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now, News, CBS, 60 Minutes, that will cause us to experience fear. With the word, the Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Fear inevitably comes by hearing, and hearing by the news media. If maybe what your cousin says, which is what your mama says, your husband, your wife, regardless of where the source, if the source is not the word of God, if the source is not the Lord Jesus himself, if the source is not the Holy Spirit, then we should question whether we should trust in it. Because mind you, if our source of revelation, information, has to be the word of God. Why? Because this is going to determine what we're going to identify with as far as our calling. Now, remember, Jesus came. The Bible tells us that Jesus, in the 15th chapter, verse, the Bible calls Jesus the last Adam. When the last Adam established the covenant, the kingdom, in the earth, he established a whole nother realm of living. And this realm of living is not supposed to be sensual. It is supposed to be based upon the word. It's supposed, we're not supposed to live by bread alone. We're not supposed to live by CNN and the BBC. We're supposed to be living only by the word of God. Now, because this affects whatever our information source is what is going to govern our activities. It's what's going to govern our behavior. Now, mind you, when Jesus came and he restored the kingdom, he established the kingdom in the earth, and therefore restoring the kingdom that the first Adam almost just totally just destroyed the world. But Jesus, the last Adam, came and he established the kingdom. Now, some of you may say, well, what is my purpose? Well, your purpose is found in the presence of God. Your purpose is found in just allowing the thing that causes you to feel fulfilled. However, that's representative of something that Jesus has placed inside of you. Remember, I'm not suggesting that there's no need for firemen, teachers, for even politicians. No, all of these occupations are necessary and needful. We need to be mindful, though, that we're supposed to function in these areas as Jesus would, as Jesus has revealed us to walk in these dimensions. Now, remember, these areas, these occupations that we sometimes may feel, we might wonder why, you know, should we function in these areas. These are areas of where we're fulfilling the need. What you're called to is representative of an answer to a problem somewhere. If we're going to see the fulfillment, though, that all of us are looking for, we have to see that God has a set time involved. The preacher from Ecclesiastes says that there is a purpose for everything. That's an original intent for everything. And we have to line up with that. That's another reason why we need prophetic counsel. Prophetic counsel releases the will of God, the purposes and the plans of God. Those of you under the sound of my voice, you need to be a part of a prophetic ministry. You need to be connected with those who are prophetic. The prophetic is what Jesus has established in the kingdom as a flow of the Spirit of God. The prophetic can help us to be aware of what we are in the earth for. The prophetic is representative of the voice of God released in the earth. If I'm going to walk in the dimensions that God has expected me to, then I need to be where the breath of God is released. And the breath of God, one of the dimensions of the breath of God, of course, is the prophetic dimension. hearing the word of God, it's we got to recognize and be aware that God has an expected end for you, my brother. There's an expected end for you, my sister. Regardless of what you might be confronted with presently. In Romans, the 8th chapter again, verse 29 is significant as well, as we hurry along, because we want to also pray for those of you under the sound of my voice. In Romans 8, chapter verse 29, there's an accompanying expression here that I'm going to read. In the Amplified version, it's for those whom he was aware and loved beforehand. Believe it or not, before you were birthed in the earth, my brother, my sister, God knew you, according to what it tells us here. He also destined from the beginning for acknowledging them to be molded into the image of his son and share inwardly his likeness, that he might become the firstborn among many brothers. Now, believe it or not, everything that you see right now that is outwardly and inwardly causing you to make decisions where you inevitably, you submit yourself to the will of God and you pray this prayer, Lord, have thine own way. Now, as you utter those words, the Spirit of God now, you and the Holy Ghost have a come into agreement. And that place is a place of absolute power. There's an omnipotence there that's released when you pray out of your love for God, have thine own way. And you ask God to reveal his will. This is a place of empowerment because now you're synergized to the will of God. Now, dear brother, dear sister, this is to ensure that we're conformed to the image of our God, our Christ, the risen King of glory. The King James talks about us conforming to the image of God's dear Son. And the conforming there is representative of us crying out to God. Now, the dimensions of the call of God for our lives is supernatural, though. The dimensions for us fulfilling the will of God and the plans and purposes of God are all based upon supernatural elements. I cannot fulfill the will of God without the supernatural dimensions. If everything that I've designed for my life is easy and does not take the supernatural, something is wrong. Because the Bible says, in order for me to please God, it takes faith. And generally, in order for faith to work, there has to be an insurmountable issue or a mountain or difficulty that's beyond human reason or beyond human activity. It's crucial for us to be aware of the need for us to flow in the supernatural. I mean, that's one reason why faith is required, so that we can see the hand of God move. What you are called to do in life demands faith. It demands for us to operate and function in the level that God is expected for us to operate in. Now, it's also crucial for us that we recognize that our calling and the dimension of what we are expected to flow in, it's in this realm of, and this dimension, I need for you to turn also as we hurry to our destination here. Over in Ephesians, there's one particular scripture I just want us to glean from it so we can we can touch down. In Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, praise God, we have a scripture here that we trust that you have made something that you find that you utilize in your study. In Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, praise God, it tells us here in verse 20, and I'm going to read from the Amplified version, It says, now to him who by, in consequence of the action of his power that is at work within us, is able to carry out his purpose and do superabundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask or think, indefinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. The essence of the fulfillment of your life, dear brother, the essence of the fulfillment of your life, dear sister, is that you function and operate in an area which is beyond your own thoughts, beyond your own highest prayers, beyond your own desires, your hopes, and your dreams. The essence of your fulfillment is found in the very essence of the supernatural and the miraculous. Our vision generally that we set for ourselves presently are too low. They're not big enough. Here it tells us that we dare to ask. So we should be living in this air, this area and function where we dare to believe. Why? Because we're daring to ask. Now, your purpose for your life, if you and I are truly born of God, if we are believers, if we're born of Christ Jesus, and we're born of the Holy Spirit, if our Father, our Abba, is truly God, then the very essence of our existence is truly miraculous, supernatural, and it's, there's a superabundance where we function and operate in areas where we ask and think by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. There's a supernatural element that we need to become comfortable with. Now, most of us, you know, we are conservative because we're taught to be conservative. But I believe God wants us to allow the Holy Ghost to help us to think like God thinks. Now, true enough, the Bible tells that God's thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. So, in other words, if we're going to fulfill and satisfy what God wants, we're going to have to think differently. We're going to have to think supernaturally. Our desires, our hopes, our dreams, our thoughts now have to be changed. We indeed have to have a new ideas, new attitudes as we hurry along. Turn finally, as we hurry to our conclusion here in Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah speaks by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to Israel. And he tells them that there's a set time. There's a 70-year period. He said after the 70 years, and I want those of you that are listening right now, the situation that you've been praying about, the difficulty that's how you describe it, the insurmountable, the situation that seems like it won't go away, there's a set time for that. And after the set time is completed, God says, then I'm going to visit you. So that you're going to experience a visitation. We're talking about verse 10 of the 29th chapter of Jeremiah. He said, I'm going to visit you. So praise God. You ought to be just preparing yourself for a press visitation. And so he said, then he said, I'm going to fulfill my good word towards you. Oh, he said, I'm going to keep that word. He said, so in other words, all those prophetic words that you received, and some of us, you know, the Bible tells us you're supposed to war with the prophetic word because there's a set time. Remember, God is raising up a Joseph company in the earth. It took Joseph 13 years before he got to the throne. He went from the pit, from the dungeon, to one of the lowest places in all of Egypt to the highest place. So those of you that are in a very pity place right now, you need to come out of there. You need to have hope, because God said, I'm going to fulfill my good word to you, and I'm going to bring you back. Now, why? Because there's a final outcome. Now, for some of you right there, there was a good place to shout. There is a final outcome. Remember, we're living in a time where the glory of the latter house is greater than the former. That's a glory coming to you, my brother. That's a glory coming to you, my sister. that will supersede all of the stuff that you've gone through, all of the trials, the tests, the difficulties, the circumstances of limitation will be overwhelmed by the glory of limitlessness. God said that when I bring you to this place, and this is what it says in verse 14. He said, I will be found of you in the New American Standard, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes. Those of you that maybe you think that you've lost all of your fortunes, you've lost this, you've lost that, God said, I'm going to restore your fortunes. All of the things that the cankerworm, the locusts, and all of the natural elements, or however you might describe it, God said, I'm going to restore. Why? Especially if you allow him to give you new ideas, new attitudes, new ways of thinking, beyond what the doctors say, beyond what the world economists are saying. And we need to transfer our confidence not in world economics, but in word economics. That's a big difference. World economics will tell you that this is not the time to sacrifice unto the Lord. This is not the time to put all of your monies into charities or even in church. You know, the world economics should cut back on those things. But word economics says, no, this is the time to sow. This is the time for you to give. This is the time for you to upgrade your giving and your sowing. Why? Because we're thinking like God. In the time of famine, it's a time to sow even greater. In fact, sowing double of what was the norm is not impractical. It's very reasonable in the kingdom of God. It's important for us to understand that God is going to restore us. Now, as we conclude this evening, he's going to restore us. Well, for Israel, it meant everything. Even though the prophetic word came forth before they went into captivity, you can imagine that after they really settled in and they realized that, okay, God had not forgiven them. He had not forgotten them. For those of you on the, God has not forgotten you. Remember now, he knows exactly the numbers of the hairs on your head. He is just that intent on knowing you. And he's very aware of what you are dealing with. There's nothing that escapes our God. Because you are in covenant with him, he is thinking about you all of the time. He was thinking about you when you got up this morning. He has been thinking about you all day. It's crucial for you to cast all of your care upon him because he cares for you according to what Peter said. Now, with that, all of the cares that you have, you need to revise those cares. It's important for you to understand seeking the kingdom should be job one, priority one, seeking the kingdom. Don't try to be rich. Don't try to be wealthy. Now, mind you, there's godly principles that we ought to function and operate in, but if you're trying to get rich, first of all, you're too late. If you are truly a child of God, you're already rich, okay? So it's important for you to be a steward, a good steward of the riches and wealth that God has already laid you with. So it's crucial for us to allow the Spirit of God to help us to see and to perceive the kingdom. As we diligently seek the kingdom, we will discover that God is not that far away. Even though he might appear to be far away, he's not. And as we yield ourselves to God's presence and as the Spirit of God moves upon us, as we seek the kingdom, as we place ourselves in the place where we need to be, we'll find our purpose. God will reveal our purpose. God will unveil. He will uncover our purpose. We will discover our purpose. This is the thing that we ought to be doing until the expected end comes, until the time where we see God fully restore us. Now, mind you, that is a process, though. I found over the years that it's crucial just to do might call it, while you're between blessings, just do the will of God. Just allow God's heart to be your heart. Give in to what the Holy Ghost wants. And there's a place of peace. There's a place where you and I are supposed to reign. The Bible tells us that we're to reign in life through Christ Jesus. Reigning in life, that means, does not mean warring against God. It means yielding to, submitting, and submitting ourselves to God so that we can reign. For those of you under the sound of my voice, the element of reigning requires, of course, trust, faith. And in closing out this evening, I just want to, again, pray for those of you under the sound of my voice. Now, please understand this. Regardless of the circumstances that you're faced with, whether they're foreclosing on your home, whether they're sending you letters that they're going to repossess your vehicle, whether the doctor has told you that you have something that is incurable. Well, dear brother, dear sister, I want you to think like God. I want you to allow God's ideas and His purposes and plans to overrun those things. Allow the Holy Spirit to breathe life where there's death in your situation now. And just agree with me right now, dear brother, dear sister. I just want you to submit to this prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for my brother. I thank you for my sister right now under the sound of my voice. And Lord, even though the situations and circumstances, the facts that my brothers, my sisters are dealing with, even where there's some disconnect even in their relationships, and even where there's some doubt that they're being faced with, feeling overwhelmed with, right now in the name, which is above every name, the name of Jesus, right now I come against every attack upon my brother. I come against every attack on my sister right now. I rebuke and bind up every threat that has come, whether it's come through the news media, whether it's come through a letter in the mailbox, whether it's come through some advice of some expert. Right now, I rebuke every threat right now in my brother's life, in my sister's life. And, Father, I take authority over every curse, Father, that's represented. I dismantle every strong man, every ruling spirit aside, assigned to my brother's life, my sister's life. I bind up every hindering spirit behind the scenes, on the scenes. I dismantle every disease. I crush and smash in the walls of every illness and sickness, Father, that has ravaged my sister and my brother with pain. I dismantle every curse that has come against him. I loosen, call forth the glory of God to be released. Father, I speak life where there's death. I speak healing where there's sickness. I speak wisdom where there's confusion. I speak hope where there's hopelessness and despair. Father, I loose the kingdom. Lord Jesus, by your Spirit, raise in my brother's life. Lord Jesus, by your Spirit, raise in my sister's life. Lord, cause the glory of God to be released. Father, I pray that the fire of God would be manifested right now in my brother's life, in my sister's life. Father, I come against every lying spirit. I dismantle all familiar spirits. Every spirit, Father, that has come against my brother, my sister, right now, that has caused them to throw in the towel, to be disappointed, to be depressed and despondent, I rebuke, Father, the spirit of heaviness right now in Christ Jesus' name. I pray, God, that the spirit of praise, that the spirit of worship, that the spirit of joy be released now in Christ Jesus' name. Father, I pray right now, Father, divine encounters. I pray that you would, Lord, cause a fresh visitation, Father, to be released on my brother's behalf, to be released on my sister's behalf. I come against them. Any fresh attacks of the adversary on my brother's life, on my sister's life, in their families, I take authority over the confusion that has come concerning the finances, concerning the recent attacks upon the mindset and the emotions and the mental state of those under the sound of my voice. Father, I call for the Spirit of God to be released. Lord Jesus, by your Spirit, cause the river of joy to be released right now. Father, for your glory, make it plain tonight. Make it plain even as we lay down, as we sleep. Cause there to be a fresh move of your Spirit where we dream heavenly, supernatural dreams that speak of the glory, that speak of the heavenly dimension, the supernatural realm. Father, that calls us even to be, Lord, impregnated by your Spirit, Father, so that we, Father, will have the Spirit of God in a fresh new way. Lord, I pray, God, that you would infuse us, and Lord Jesus, that you would baptize us afresh right now. Holy Spirit, be released. Lord, come by your Spirit. Cause the glory of God to be made known again. Visit us tonight, Lord. Father, I ask, God, that you would so move upon us, even in the daytime hours when we are widely awake, consciously aware, Father. Lord, come in right there and just infuse us with ideas from the heavenly dimension that will work in this earth realm, that will supersede the natural. Lord, we ask, God, that you would cause our hands, Father, to be blessed. Lord, you said that you are the one that will give us power to get wealth. I pray, God, that wealth changes hands and that you infuse us with ideas, witty inventions, and that you would cause, Father, those under the sound of my voice to become the fresh new entrepreneurs in the earth, oh God, to bring forth the glory of God. We ask, God, that you would cause the manifestations of the supernatural to be released, God, that bring the kingdom into manifestation in our situation. Lord, I ask that the angels of God would be activated now upon the behalf of my brother and my sister, everyone under the sound of my voice. And we pray that the angels of God would be dispatched to war afresh, to dismantle every band, to crush and smash every barrier or wall that has hemmed us in. Lord, we loose the kingdom tonight. We trust, God, that your plans and purposes, your calling for our lives would be so assured. Lord, cause us to be at rest with your will and cause us to be at rest in trusting you, Lord. We cover all of this in the blood of the Lamb, Christ Jesus our Lord. We certify and we seal this in the blood of the Lamb, Christ Jesus. Father, we trust, God, that even as your Spirit moves, as your Spirit is moving now, that you are ushering in, even us, into a new place and a new age of awareness of the supernatural. Lord, we thank you for opening our eyes and the eyes of our understanding, for causing our ears to be unstopped so that we can function and operate even as the priest that you called us, even as the prophets as you called us, even as the apostolic company and age, Lord, that you've thrust us into. Help us to function and to flow, Father, in the dimensions of the kingdom. Lord, we welcome, Father, the fresh new ideas. We welcome the fresh new attitudes. We thank you, Father, for the spirit of obedience. Lord, I loose the grace of God upon those under the sound of my voice. I release the divine enablement. I loose the favor of God. I loose the promotions. I loose, Father, the new jobs. I loose, God, the fresh vision. I loose, God, your wisdom, Father, to build the kingdom. Lord, we pray, God, even for the local assembly leaders, that the under-shepherds, the apostles, prophets, pastors, and teachers that are under the sound of my voice. Father, I ask, God, that you would strengthen their bones and that you would cause them to be strong in you and the power of your might, Lord Jesus. We ask, God, that you would cause fresh oil to be applied, that you would cause the anointing to be released, that you'll cause my brother and my sister, Father, to spare nothing. Lord, cause them to speak as the oracles of God. We trust you and thank you for this now. We trust and thank you, Lord Jesus, for moving by your Spirit now. We thank you, Father, for the healing manifestations. We thank you for great deliverance. We thank you for signs and wonders. We thank you for the miraculous right now. We thank you for the changed heart. And for that brother, that sister that don't know you tonight under the sound of my voice, Lord Jesus, move by your Spirit and bring them into the fold. For that brother, sister that's been questioning whether God still is operative and function, and you've been stagnated right now in Christ Jesus, come forth, my brother. Come forth, my sister. Come out of that depression. Come out of that despondency. Come forth out of that fear. Be released now in Christ Jesus' name. And, Father, we praise you and bless you for the impact of the word of God going forth tonight. In Christ Jesus' name, we call it done. We declare it done. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. Bless God. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for such a mighty word tonight. And those who are listening in, if you have not accepted the Lord as your Savior, this is a mighty word. This is a supernatural word. This is a word that will cause you to come out of your grave and come forth. And we pray that if there's anyone on the line tonight that has not accepted the Lord as your Savior, that you would do so, and you would do it post-haste. And all you have to do is just invite him into your heart, acknowledge him as the Son of God, that he died and he rose again, and that he's sitting on the right hand of God the Father, and that you're sorry for your sin, and that you've accepted him into your heart. And if you've done this, go to kingdomdaughters.org, follow the prompts, and we'll be more than glad to provide you with the Bible. And if you need a church home, we will work with you to find your church home. We only have 1 or 2 minutes left. I'm going to pop open the lines right quick, and all we want are comments. No, the pastor, the apostle has prayed. He has prayed heaven down. And if you have a short comment, because we only have a few minutes, please come forward quickly. The lines are open. We have 90 seconds. If you have anything you would like to say, please come forward right now. I see the lines are open. Come on. Please come forward. If not, then.
I want to say I appreciate. I'd like to say I appreciate. This is Marlene from California.
Uh-huh. Marlene.
That prayer, it was really touched my heart, and I appreciate prayers. The prayers of the righteous does avail as much. And I keep you in prayer, and I keep everyone that's on the line in prayer, because prayer is needed.
Amen. Amen. Is there someone else who would like to come forth? Would like to hear what you have to say? Bless the man of God.
Amen.
Amen. I believe that was that Doris?
No, it was Marlene.
Marlene, I'm sorry, Marlene. Okay, well then, if no one is going to come forth, we'd like to thank the apostle for giving such
well,
a mighty
God.
Word. And we trust and pray that those who had an ear to hear heard what the Spirit of God was saying to them individually, that they gleaned and that they tapped into what the apostle was saying tonight. And we would like to invite you back the next first Tuesday which will be next year, 2012.
Hallelujah.
To come for, come back and be with us once again at 7 o'clock Central Standard Time and 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And Apostle, would you like to have a final word?
Okay. Praise God. We're just looking forward to that'll be the 3rd of January. We're looking forward to that. This is a monumental calendar year that we're going into. We just praise God for the opportunity this evening. Praise God for kingdom builders. Praise God for kingdom builders. Praise God for Minister for Providence, Teresa Dox, not to mention her husband. Praise God for the man of God, Brother Quinton, and for you, a woman of God, this evening, for all of the, those of you that are listening, we just praise God for the opportunity to be in the earth. This is the best time to be alive, and I am just so excited about what God is doing. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Apostle, if you don't mind, I would like to just cover you in prayer before we go.
Please do.
Oh, Lord Jesus, we just thank you, Lord, for today. Oh, Heavenly God, oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word that went forth tonight. What a mighty word. What a word of meat. Oh, yes, God, I pray, Lord, that those, again, as I said, who had an ear to hear, heard what the Spirit of God was saying to them. And, Father God, we cover our apostle and his wife and family in prayer, oh, God, that no weapon that's formed against them will prosper. And every tongue that rises up against him is already condemned. Wherever his feet touches holy ground, oh God. Lord, we pray that you continue to expand his tents and his borders, oh God, that you continue to give him revelatory word, oh God, that you anoint him even the more, and Father God, even in a greater way for this time that we're living in, oh God. Oh, Father God, we know that where sin abound, there does the Spirit of God much more abound, which means, Lord, that we all need more anointing. Oh, Father God, we thank you, Lord, that you have anointed this man for this hour, for this time. And, Father God, we just plead the blood of Jesus over his life and over his wife and his family, oh God. Lord, we pray
for
his ministry that you continue to prosper it, oh God. Lord, as
for
he moves
glory.
Forth in you, oh, Father God,
Lord.
That as he does what, as he's taught us and teaching us to obey God, that as he obeys you, Lord, that you would even prosper him the more, oh God. Lord, that you would even open up his ears, oh God, even the more. Oh God, that you would take him in higher heights and deeper depths, oh God. That he will know the length, the breadth, the depth, and the width of the height of our inheritance in you, oh God. And Father God, we thank you for him, Jesus. Oh, God, we just thank you, Lord, and we just give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank
I
you.
Appreciate that prayer. I receive that. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, woman of God. Praise
You're
God
so
for
welcome,
you.
Sir.
Yes.
And we are looking forward again, as the apostle said, that's January 3rd. And again, Happy New Year to those that we will not hear from again until next year.
Hallelujah. And a Happy New Year to you, woman of God.
Thank you, Apostle. And I would like to say, God bless you. And I would like to say good night to everyone.
Good night.
Good night. Anybody want to press a little further? Anybody want to press a little further? Somebody lift your voice into the Lord. Tell him, God, I want to press a little further. Press in your presence. Woo! Come on, we're about to get out of your way, but we want to press a little further. Amen. If I can just press in your presence. Behold the beauty of your face. If I can just press in your presence and never leave this place again. If I can just press in your presence
and leave all my cares behind me. I will be whole. I'll still believe. I will just lay at your feet. For I will be whole. I'll still believe. I will just praise at your feet right here in your presence. Somebody come on and tell the Lord you want to press a little deeper. Tell the Lord, if I could just press,
if I could just press,
press in your presence,
behold
the beauty of your face. If I can just press in your presence, and never leave this place again. If I can just press in your presence, and leave all my cares where they are, I will be whole. Still believe, I will just lay at your feet.
Oh, the wonder of your glory. To you 40 years is but 1 hour. Your knowledge is all encompassing. To your wisdom there is no end. Oh, for you alone are God. You are God alone. Your mercy is everlasting. Your truth is here always. You are He who was and is to come. Who is He that can number your days? You flung the sun to burn in space, and the night moon found light from day. Oh, you alone, you're God. You're God, Elohim, you're everything I need. You are God alone. Now run to the King.
Power. Considered human, and Adam begot this and that, and no, she's not even named. The women, children, aren't even named. They lost their importance because Satan heard in 3:15, she's gonna be his arch enemy. Well, we just gonna fight. We just gonna be some fighting people. She gonna fight me. I'm gonna fight her. I'm gonna wipe her out of genealogy. I'm gonna make sure I wipe her out of the law. I'm gonna wipe her out of every ordinance. And then they started creating laws where the women were no covering for them. They could kill them, Bishop, and there was no law to cover them. They could take them in the back and bury them and not even eulogize them, my brother, because there was no law to cover them. The Mohammedan law would not cover them. And when they looked at it, they said, oh my God, we have no covering but God. That's why you see a Hannah in the book travailing and crying and talking about, if God don't help me, nobody down here is going to help me. Sisters and brothers, what this devil did was made an intercessor out of every woman, because she didn't have a voice. Nobody would speak up for her. Nobody would protect her or defend her. She was not even seen. That's the reason why Moses has to go to God. Watch it now. He's got to go to God and sunk so fast, my brother. This devil from Genesis to Deuteronomy. You got Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy. Now you're closing the Torah. Now the Mishnah is the commentator to the Torah, explaining what God's supposed to have said under these books. Now watch it. By the time we get to the Dutros, to the explaining again of these young folks who God is, because they're getting ready to go into Canaan land. Watch it. The daughters, before they go in, say, wait now. Our father is dead, but we want our own inheritance. Give us what belongs to us. Hogla speaks out and says, we be the daughters of the Lophahad, and we want our own inheritance. We don't want to be sifted off to the side like we don't count because my daddy had no sons. Is that all that counts with God are sons? Is that all God's concerned about? Give me a son. No, no, baby. Moses said, I can't find anything in the law. I can't find it in the Torah and in the Mishnah and the Sephra, in the Sephra. I cannot find it in the commentaries. I cannot find it among the scribes. What do I do? Moses turned and went to the tabernacle. When he got there, God met him at the door. And when he stretched out and said, what do I do? He said, the daughters of Zelophehad speak right. Give them what rightfully belongs to them. And he said, when you get back down there, write this thing down as a memorial. This ain't a joke. I said, sons and daughters shall prophesy. They shall dream dreams. They shall speak with new tongues. Shout hallelujah. Shout glory. Sister, woman to woman, this devil needs to erase you. He needs to erase you off the map. Moses had to go down and make a law. He said, let this be written down, and don't you forget it. Put beside it memorial. It shall be a memorial. They shall inherit. They are also inheritors of the promises and of the things of God. Sisters and brothers, so when we come to our particular time and age, we run past the Romans, Alexander the Great, and we still see the mistreatment and the handling of women as chattel. Because Satan is fighting a war against women to make sure they become the very offscourgings of the earth. We see queens sitting here and there, ruling and reigning, but we see in Israel, watch, their women are deduced down to almost nothing. We see worldly women on the scene, the Romans, the Phoenician women rising up to power. Look how intimidating that devil is. Well, she's ruling and she's got property. Why can't I? They refuse to educate their girls. They left them in the back. That's the reason why they never understood the Torah, because they even had their scholars say, if you teach a woman the word or the Torah, if you teach them out of the book, you will be like lectures. It would be like teaching a dog. What's the word of God? To waste your time teaching a woman about God is like wasting your time to teach your dog about God. The off-scourging and the evilness that came down through history is because Satan needs to blind the woman. He needs her to run in the wilderness to find defense, because he's coming after her seed. He rose up, tried to swallow them up in Egypt, but God made a way for their escape. He rose up again, and you see him, Herod the Great, searching out to kill those from the cradle to the age of two. He's coming against her seed, because kings and queens and masters and rulers have now been assigned to her womb. Watch it now. Adam, he said, her seed, her seed, her seed, her seed. It's her seed, it's her seed. Well, it's her seed, her seed. Her seed will be your enemy. Her seed, her seed, her seed. Her seed, Satan, will bruise your head and make you swim and sway, make you lose orientation. That's why women, when they travail, Zion bursts. Pain don't shake. shake. Pain shakes most people, but what it does to a believer is it runs them right to Jesus. Because if you mess with me, I'm going to run where I can get some help. You don't have to stand with me. Just let me get 10 minutes before him. Let me cry out, and before you know it, angels in the heaven will be out to assist me. God will send the help, and then that right early in my sick trouble, he knows where I'm at. In my seventh trouble, he will surely deliver me. Then you get them rising up like Deborah, rearing back. I don't need a courtroom, I'll judge between the trees. You don't have to make no seat for me. Then you got them raising up as deliverers, because God is not at all prejudiced. He'll take a little girl in full nations. Took a little girl by the name of Hadesha and made her to save a nation. Sitting on a worldly throne ruling and coming across the court saying, if I perish, I perish, but I'm going to see the king. Shout hallelujah. Shout glory.
Those that hear will sense and feel an anointing, and as this is recorded, I pray the anointing will break yokes. I pray hope will come back to homes and marriages will be healed. I pray for a second chance for those that have backslidden. I pray, Father, that yokes will be broken and burdens lifted. People will come into destinies. Inheritance will be released. I pray that things that the enemy has kept locked up will be released in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father. We praise you. We give you glory. We give you honor. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, we decree and declare that even as we come in the volume of the book, it is written of us, according to Psalm 143, verse 8 to 10, let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your spirit guide me. Synchronize me and syncopate me to your will. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Let your kingdom is my priority. Fulfilling my assignment is, hallelujah, my pleasure. Father, I decree and declare that I walk in the timing of the Lord. I function and conduct my life to fear according to your original plan and purpose. I command my day to fully cooperate with your plan and purpose for it. Superimpose your will over the will of evil spirits and evil man. Grant me divine kingdom asylum. Let not evil come nigh my dwelling. Rescue me from my enemies, O Lord, for I hide myself in you. Take hold of the ends of the earth and shake evil out of its place. Dismantle evil powers working to frustrate my day, my assignment and activities. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, for the insurrection of the workers of iniquity. Since my times are in your hand, deliver me from the hand of my enemy and from those who persecute me. Arrest every contrary spirit in your might and in your power. Cause demonic destiny altering activities to cease. Overthrow the horse and the rider. Dismantle diabolical ordinances, bills, and laws. Hallelujah. Change legislation, policies, procedures, statutes, regulations, and codes, so that your will is performed in the earth without, hallelujah, frustration or setback. I claim my inheritance. Foil the arrows shut toward me by day and cause night terrors to seat. Break evil and inappropriate patterns and processes of thoughts in my mind. I have the mind of Christ. I am anointed to think creatively, hallelujah, and accurately. I have the wisdom of
of God moving in my being. Hallelujah. I know that there is another level. Therefore, I seek those things which are above and not beneath. I ascend into a new realm and access new dimensions of divine revelation and inspiration. Father, I will not backslide, nor will I look back in order to use old ways, old methodologies, nor old strategies. I receive the spiritual upgrading of my mind. My mind is free of all past and present negativities. I decree and declare that since I wear the helmet of salvation, it protects my mind and my thoughts. I have a divine kingdom paradigm which grants me new ways of thinking, new ways of working, new ways of living. I thank you, Father, for granting me cutting.
And right in the middle of their thoughtless, ungracious, inconsiderate disregard comes a woman who is not just a woman, but this woman is a worshiper. And she has taken it as long as she can take it. For she's watching them. She's watching him, looking around, needing a drink of water. She's going, nobody's washed his feet. What is wrong with them? They are crazy. I'm going to kill them when I get my hands on them. They're just all up there important, talking to each other and celebrating each other's ministry and doing this and that. And what's wrong? Why can't they take care of the master's need? And finally she decided, look, I know I'm not supposed to be in here, but I can't take it anymore. And she made up in her mind, I'm going in and I'm going to minister to the master. And she didn't care what anybody thought, because see, when you really love him, you will let nothing separate you from him. Not life, nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nothing present or nothing to come. Not even big men with big titles having big business meetings. And with a passionate, premeditated praise, she pressed her way into his presence. And before anybody could stop her, her feet had taken her to the place that her heart already was. Nobody greeted her. Nobody ushered her. Nobody welcomed her. Nobody said, can I get you a chair? How about a glass of water? No. Nobody even smiled at her. But do you think she cared? See, real worshipers are not easily offended. I said, real worshipers are not easily offended. She didn't care what they thought. She didn't care if they talked to her. She didn't care what they said to her. Because she didn't come to see them anyway. She had come for Jesus. And her aggression has left them speechless. It was completely out of order. But touch somebody and tell them she broke in anyway, didn't she? She broke in anyway. See, I can't speak for everybody that is here tonight, but I do declare unto you that there are some of us that are determined to break into the presence of God. I dare you to hit them and tell them, excuse me, but I came to break in. Oh yeah, while you're sitting up half asleep, I came to break in. While you're acting like you don't need nothing, I came to break in. While you're acting like you are bored, I came to break into his presence. So yes, I'm going to break in with you or without you. Whether you like it or not, tell three people, I came to break in. Did you really? See, that's what real praise, not church praise, not cute praise, but real praise will make you break in. It'll make you jump up while everybody else is sitting down. You don't want to bother anybody. You don't want to disrupt the with it. I don't care how crazy folk are. You got to deal with it. Say, excuse me, Peter. Excuse me, James. Excuse me, Andrew. I came to see Jesus, and I ain't leaving this church till I give him the glory. Till I touch him. I ain't leaving till I praise him. I ain't leaving till I lift him up. I got to thank him. It was him that brought me over. Hey, see, some folk need an organ. Some folk need a praise team. Some folk need a choir. But there are some of us in this room that all we need is a flashback. Hey, just a flashback is all it takes for some of us. Yeah. Hallelujah. So this woman sees. She seized the moment. She walked into the room, choir.
My God.
She walked into the room. She reached into her stuff.
My God.
Because sometimes you got to reach into your own stuff. It ain't about the praise team stuff. It ain't about the choir stuff. It ain't about the preacher stuff. Sometimes you got to reach into your own stuff. You got to reach into your own history. You got to reach into your own memory. See, it is my memory, y'all, that makes me worship him. That's why I don't expect you to get with my praise, because you can't see my memory. But when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all. She reached into her stuff and she pulled out an alabaster box. She took the box and she broke it at his feet. Notice I did not say she opened the box. Because if, you know, there are two types of worshipers in this room tonight. There are open worshipers and there are broken worshipers.
Come on, come on. Come on.
And when you're just open,
oh my God,
you can control how it comes out.
Oh my God.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hey,
ooh, that's enough of that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But if I broke this bottle, everything inside this bottle would come out through the broken places. So for all of you that have such wonderful control, you're open, but you're not broken. And in order to have openness in heaven, there has got to be brokenness here on the earth.
Mountain, looked all around, couldn't find nobody. Went down into the deepest valley, looked all around down there, couldn't find nobody. I went across the deep blue sea, couldn't find one to compare to your grace, your love, your mercy. Nobody greater, nobody greater than you. Searched searched all over, couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low, still couldn't find nobody. Nobody greater, nobody greater, no, nobody greater than you. Searched all over, couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low, still couldn't find nobody. Nobody greater, nobody greater, nobody greater than you. Nobody can heal like you can. Oh, most holy one, you are the great I am. Awesome in all your ways, and mighty is your hand. You are he who carried out redemption's plan. You are he who carried. Nobody greater, Jesus.
Nobody greater than you.
Search all over.
Search all over.
Couldn't find no.
Couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low.
Let's go dance for real in here. Come on. Nobody greater. Nobody greater, Jesus.
Nobody greater than you.
Nobody greater. Nobody greater. Nobody greater.
Nobody greater than you.
Now lift those hands, singers, and let's just give them the glory. Nobody greater.
Nobody greater.
Couldn't find nobody.
Nobody greater.
Nobody greater than you.
Nobody greater than you.
I dare you lift your hand and say that with us tonight. Come on. Nobody greater.
Nobody greater.
Ordained from the pits of hell to get on the inside and
implosion. Sisters and brothers, it is not that we fear what comes to us visibly. It's that secret hidden thing that we don't know that has crept in. See, if we knew he was coming, we would have watched for him. If we knew what he looked like, we would have pointed him out. If we knew what she was wearing, we would have told you the color. But these men have been ordained of old, ordained to this damnable, erroneous heresy. What they do is their job is to subvert the tentacles of the faith. The tentacles of the faith are very important. Faith is one thing that we believe so that we can receive. It is not for we can receive a car or houses or land or those are things. The Bible says if you would just first seek ye the kingdom of the Lord, all these things would be added. But most of the times we seek the things and not the God of the things. So we have a subverting of what the faith is. There is faith and then the faith. The faith is the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Come on, y'all got to go with me quick. I know the Lord said some things, but he got to show me how to preach fast. Now listen here. I want you to understand something. They have crept in, the Holy Spirit said. God woke me up heavy, weeping and crying. How many of you have ever heard God cry? It's not a pretty sound. It's a weeping that gets in your spirit and you ain't sad. It's a cry. You're not depressed. You're happy. But God gets in your spirit and begins to weep. He says they have crept in. They crept in. They crept in unaware. Now the thing of their facade is they look like us. They dress like us. They preach like us. But they are not of us. They won't continue with us. But they won't continue with us after they have damnably brought in erroneousness of the tentacles of the faith. Their job from hell is to subvert the faith, to cause you to believe a lie, to walk away from the truth and the gospel of this scripture, to turn your back on the principles of this faith, and cause you to believe something else that's not even written there. Not a great big mistake, Majesty, in the prelays of heaven. I declare unto you, it's a subtle evil. It's a creeping, it's a moving with slickness. It's a getting up under you. It is a convincing of you that they are holy, but they are not holy. They have been assigned from hell to subvert this thing. When you look up, it will already have been done. But I've been sent here to say the devil is a lie. It won't happen. Hallelujah. Is to make sure that they wear their disguise well. Their hearts are really not with you, brother. They're not with you. They can't be with you. Their father is from somewhere else. Now, those that are born of God and have the seed of God in them, they don't sin. Because the seed of God is in them and God has no sin in him. If you say God has darkness, you are none of his. Because there is no darkness in him. Now, sisters and brothers, what they do is make an excuse in grace. Well, I'm just human. Well, God knows my heart. Well, he knows I'm just an ordinary man, damnable evil. The Bible says, sin not. Be ye holy as God is holy. Sisters and brothers, you can't change that. That's the subverting of the faith. This faith believes in Jesus as Lord. This faith believes that he died and he rose again. This Bible declares that he alone is a healer. This Bible declares that sickness is of the devil, out of the pits, out of the belly of hell. This Bible declares you're about sin. You will not see him. You can't go to heaven with your sin.
skin on. You got to pull it all off, baby. Pull it all off. Because there's holiness without which no man, woman, boy, or girl shall see the Lord. Shout hallelujah. Shout glory. Sisters and brothers.
Thank you for making the investment in your life by purchasing this recording of Dr. Cindy Trim's Library of Kingdom Living. Be blessed as you listen to this life-changing message. It is her prayer that you will be inspired and empowered to fulfill your purpose and destiny.
Father, the teaching of commending the morning is just a part of our posture of prayer, but it takes us from a positive perspective, not fighting with devils and demons as in the rules of engagement, but constructing our own destiny and participating in our own success and prosperity. Father, I pray that your children were blessed and something that was said activated a fire, a zeal for prayer. Father, bless each home, each household, every relationship, every mind. Bless it. Father, I release your people to experience success and prosperity, kingdom style. I activate the kingly anointing on their lives. And I pray and wish above all things that they will prosper and be in good health, even as their soul prospers. In Jesus' name. God bless you. Let me just finish this. Here's your instructions, very simple instructions. Number one, when you pray, pray prospectively, prospectively, pro. There should be no doubt in your mind that God wants you to prosper. Job 22:28 tells us, thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be a